Hey, Brianna, how are you?
Good morning, Anna Marie. Thank you for joining today and telling us all about your story and how you came to what you currently are.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
So where do you want me to start?
The day you were born. No, I'm kidding. Wherever you felt like you had to overcome something to get to where you are now would be good.
You know, it's been interesting because there's been so many times where I had to overcome significant parts in my life. But I think the one thing that comes back most and foremost is I actually was, well, two things. First, I came from the Netherlands, right, as a nurse, as a brand new nurse. And I came to the United States and really literally didn't know anything about what I actually was supposed to do. I literally had 2 months of being in nursing school, and then I came here. And the funny thing was, when I came to some of these units, I didn't even know what the word straw meant. There was this clinical director who actually was helping me, and I said, and she asked me to get a straw, and I had no idea what it was. Now, I knew English. English was not foreign to me, but certain words I never had was taught in the Netherlands, right? So the word straw was totally completely foreign to me, and I was like, "What is that?" And I really have no idea. So she had this look on her face, like, "Ah." But anyway, I did go on, and I became a nurse at Johns Hopkins, and was very successful there. So that was the one thing I do. So that's the first thing that comes to mind. And I think probably the more impactful change actually happened when, after a couple of years of working at Hopkins, is when I lost a baby, and I lost Daniel, who was 3 days old. I think that really made a really heavy impact in my life, and yeah, really changed me for, really changed. Truly changed what I was thinking, how I was feeling, and what I did with it. I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, I understand that completely.
Yeah, and it just taught me a lot around what it means to be a mom, right? I was in the hospital, so Daniel was born with trisomy 18, which we didn't know. He had three chromosomes, 18. And I did right away, I mean, he was born by C-section, and right away, my doctor came to me and she said, like, well, this is something very serious. Either he has three chromosomes all over the board, or he has something we call trisomy 18. So three chromosomes 18 versus two. And I just remember, it's like, what am I going to do, right? What is this? We didn't know anything. This was our fourth baby. I was supposed to be perfectly normal. The only thing why we did a C-section, because the midwife, he wasn't growing. And she said, well, let's just do an ultrasound. And then she said, well, let's just induce him because he isn't growing. We just need to get him out. And this was at like 39 weeks. But I had no clue. Mm. And then the induction didn't go well. And then the C-section, they said, well, let's do that. And then he was right away taken away. And my husband said, like, oh, he has a little trouble breathing. I'm a nurse, right? And so he showed me a picture, and he was totally intubated and everything else. He had ventilator and everything else, breathing tube. And I was like, this is more, right? This is more serious. So mm-hmm. You go from expecting a very normal birth, right? Having three other kids with a very normal birth, and then boom, suddenly having a baby that is very, very seriously ill. So yeah, that changed a lot for me in that moment. Like, what is life all about, right? Why am I here? What am I doing? It just changed everything in that moment. It's crazy. So yeah.
Yeah, it often takes something like that to make us think, like you said, and reevaluate what's important.
Yeah, yeah. And I think for a very long time, I mean, this has been 18 years ago, right? So Daniel lived for 3 days. We were able to at the third day, he started having all kind of symptoms and wasn't feeling well. And so his heart was having dysrhythmias. And I knew he wasn't going to make it, but I also didn't want him to die by himself. So we decided to take everything off, to take a breathing tube and everything out. And he kept on breathing. And so I had a very dear friend, and she said to me, like, Anna Marie, why don't you take him home? And at that point, it was such a strong feeling. I got to take him home. And I don't know. I've never had that feeling. And this was 18 years ago. There was nothing set up. So the first initial response of a doctor was like, well, we can't. You can't. And a nurse came back with it, I remember, to this day. And she was a phenomenal nurse. I mean, honestly, really phenomenal. And I was like, this is like, I need to take him home. There's no doubt about this. I just need to take this boy home. I don't care if he dies in the car. I just need to try and take him home. And she went back and she just became an absolute advocate for me. And we take him home, like literally an hour later. Because again, time was precious at that time, right? We knew he didn't have days to live. And so we took him home. She put him in the car seat and I just took him out of the car seat, and because he had a hard time sitting up at that point because his heart was so enlarged. And we took him home and he slept on my chest for the whole night. And the next day we had breakfast with the other kids and they were just with him. And then in the afternoon, we took some pictures, which was still one of my best pictures ever, because that all the tubes were not attached to him. And then we took a walk, and I mean, it was amazing, right? It was 4 days after C-section and we have a very hilly neighborhood, but I just felt so lifted at that point. So we took a walk and he died in my arms. He just died. I didn't even know him. Hendrik, my husband, said like Anna Marie, and I looked down and he had passed away. I always say from my arms to God's arms, and in a very beautiful, beautiful way, actually, that I could not foresee. I just needed to take him home. That's the only thing I had. And that's the response I went to. And I think sometimes when we have those really gut feelings around what we need to do, we don't always listen to it, right? I haven't always listened to it either. But I think that moment was a moment I listened. And I was like, this is what I need to do. I need to take him home. And to this day, it's what we remember about him. It's that time we had with him. So I think that was a very important lesson for me, is to learn you got to trust your gut feeling. You got to trust what's really in your gut, right? Really in your heart. When you have that feeling of that you need to make a change, you need to do something, listen to it, because it can change. It can change everything in your life, right? For years and years to come. It's right. So, yeah,
absolutely. And then did you go right back to nursing again after that?
I did. I made myself a promise that I was going to go back, because they always say not to make any big changes, right?
Right.
And so I did. I went for 2.5-3 months. And I think I was working at Oncology Bone Marrow Transplant. And we did very much extensive therapies with people, intensive care, extensive dialysis, I mean, continuous dialysis. And people thought that I would have a problem with death and dying people, but I actually didn't. I actually loved being in that mode. And Daniel taught me a lot about that death was okay. What I had trouble with was keeping people alive to the extent that we did. We were all experimental. It was sometimes so extensive what we did. And I also had this feeling, I want to be home. Mm. So I want to be home with my other three kids. Life is precious. I just want to be home with them and have life with them and not have to worry about being in two places at the same time, right? So so I did go back. And then after 2.5 months, I said to my nurse manager, I need to quit. And she's like, yeah, I'm not surprised. And so I stayed home for quite a few years with my kids, about 6-7 years, and homeschooling them and traveling. And then I was like, I gotta go back into nursing. And so I got my license back because it was expired. And then I went back into the hospital and I was like, I don't want to do this. It's crazy. This is such a crazy, like so much administration, so few contact with the actual patients, seeing a revolving door constantly with patients. And I was like, this is not the kind of nursing I want to practice. I want to care for people. I want to make a difference. I just don't want to be in all this administrative stuff that I need to do and just to cover whatever it is. And it just didn't feel right for me at that moment anymore. So I stepped out. I said, I'm just going to find a different way. And so I did some courses around coaching and around healing, some healing modalities as well. And I hung up my shingle as a nurse entrepreneur, which is very uncommon. And now we have a little bit more with our nurse practitioners doing it a little bit more. But at that point, it was, this is about, I don't know, 8-10 years ago now. And it wasn't what people, nurses do. But I felt so called to it. I felt like I need to make a difference in this world. And the best way I can do that is to help people really truly heal what's going on and truly help them through their traumatic experience and what they've done in life and what's been really holding them back from what they really want to do. And so I've been taking courses. I took business courses. I took more healing courses, more coaching courses. And from that point, I started becoming a nurse entrepreneur and nurse coach. And it probably was one of the best things that I've ever done. It's funny because for a while, I didn't even call myself a nurse coach or nurse healer or nurse entrepreneur. And the whole thing with COVID, actually, that's one thing that I brought back to me is like, I'm still a nurse. I'm still a nurse. I just have a different way of practicing than I've ever done before. Right. And then that to me has been kind of eye opening so many ways. So,
yeah, that's so very true. I think, you know, like you said, with everything that has just happened since, gosh, March, it's been a while now. I think a lot of people are starting to reevaluate what things are important in their lives and seeing that maybe it isn't someplace in a corporate world of some sort or whatever it is that they do, but they really want to enjoy more out of life and do things at their own pace and be working for themselves.
Yeah, totally.
So that's amazing that you were able to convert and do that. Have you found that since all of the stay home practices have been going on, that you've had to switch and make a pivot to the way that you provide your services?
I think COVID-19 has brought a lot of people. You're right. I mean, I think you're so right. COVID-19 has brought a lot of awareness to, right? A lot of awareness of that they want to have live differently and do things differently. And I always have said too that the way we're going to solve the crises that are currently going on in the United States, that's going on with chronic disease, with mental health, mental wellness, and everything else, that cannot just be done or not almost not be done inside of clinics, inside of hospitals and things like that, right? That's the last resort. That's the last thing we need to go and change things, right? Of course, those things are needed. And thank goodness if there's emergency care needed, that still exists, right? I'm so, so grateful for that. But I also think that really, the real issues that are needing to be solved are in our foods, are in the way we eat, are in the way we connect with people, are in the way we daily, right, take care of our mental health and mental wellness, in our daily practices, how we teach our kids how to take care of themselves, right? So they have time to actually take care of their mental health, and they can meditate, and they can eat well, and they can, right? Because even little kids can meditate.
Yeah.
They can have space, right? They can make space for those day-to-day activities that make them feel better, so they don't have to go to the hospital ultimately, right? Barring any kind of crisis or emergency, you never know. But there's so much we can prevent. There's so much, and I've been saying this like crazy. I've been saying to a lot of nurses as well, but other people as well. There's so many things we can prevent before people get there, and they're so simple that, but we're not doing them, right? Everybody knows that we need to eat less sugar and eat less processed food, right? Doing them and those two interventions, if you would just do that, we would see so much change, right? In diabetes, in a lot of chronic disease, what we have. It doesn't solve everything, but it would make such a difference. So I think my passion has brought it since COVID. My passion has said, because in the beginning I was like, well, do I want to be that nurse in that hostel, right? But and that was a little bit of a kind of a real question for me for a while. Do I want to go back and be in that ICU? And then I've stepped back and say, no, I really believe the real change needs to happen in this preventative care arena, in people, how their people eat and how they take care of their bodies and their brains and their mental health on a day-to-day basis. So for me, the passion has increased in saying I want to do more, both on an individual basis, but also more on a larger basis, on a society and systemic. It's like, let's change that, because that's really the fight that we're fighting more than anything else is how we treat ourselves, how we treat our bodies, and then how we treat each other as human beings, right? So,
that's excellent. And I do love the idea that incorporating some of these healthy values and lifestyle changes into kids' lives, then that just becomes second nature for them. And they don't have to think about it at all. They just naturally delve into, if they're feeling stressed, calming themselves down, doing some quick breathing techniques, those kind of things. If they've grown up learning that, to them it just becomes second nature, and we all need that.
Yes, and you can teach it at any time, because I mean, I still have. So I have teenagers now and young adults, right? But even there, you can make changes, and you can teach kids as young as even 2 or 3 years old. You can teach them very small meditative stuff, where you can just teach them deep breathing, and if they get upset, they can take some deep breaths. You can walk that through them, right? You can just teach them how to do that. You can teach them how to have a bigger awareness of themselves and then they can sense the trees, or they can look at the trees, or they can feel the air around them, right? You can, at nighttime, you can even make it a bedtime story. So let's go and see and feel how we feel. How do our bodies feel? Now, how's your heart feeling today, right? How's your gut feeling? What are you thinking about? What is increasing your awareness of what they hear, what they see? That simple stuff, if we can get more of the kids having that kind of awareness of themselves, of their environment, of their bodies, it will change the world. It will change the world. And it does really start that simple, right? It really starts that simple to become there, aware of that. And yeah, so you can do that. And then I think if you add that to them, some more healthier foods. So because we do know more and more, right, that really the processed food and the sugar really does a number on our brains. Even our little brain health is affected by all the sugar that we eat, and it's not healthy. So the minute we can change the foods that we have, allow our kids to eat on a regular basis, right? It's okay to every now and then have a cake, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I have no problem with that. But on a regular basis, to have less sugar in their diet. Again, I've seen kids going from totally hyper, totally being very, very, very active, but in kind of the wrong hyperactivity way, limiting sugar, and suddenly they think better and they focus better and they are able to manage themselves better, right?
Absolutely.
Boom, it changes everything.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. And I think, you know, some of that years ago, and I mean many years ago, parents stayed home, or a parent at least stayed home. And then there wasn't a lot of that processed food happening because somebody was home cooking. Somebody was home nurturing all day long. Somebody was there at the end of the day to tuck the children into bed and read them a bedtime story. And we've kind of need to evolve from that to where we are now in this, gosh, sometimes so hectic lifestyle that we all lead with kids. And, you know, rethink what we're going to do with them on a regular basis and incorporate some of these good things into other things that we're already doing. Like, I know my grandchildren still, they're 4 and they're 6. And we do meditate with them. They love it, by the way. But, you know, when we read stories, incorporating some of that breathing in, relaxing into that part of the day.
Yes,
I think makes such a big difference. When my children were little, we used to read poetry at night. Something about the poetry was it instinctively calmed them down. I'm not sure what it was, but they just liked the sound and the rhyming words and the, you know, we would talk about the images and they just always loved that. And I think those are the kind of things that maybe people need to get back to.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and I so agree. And it doesn't have to be long, right? Yeah. And that's another thing. And even when you say about taking out food, right, there is a lot of healthy places now as well. And so takeout doesn't have to be processed foods, and even in that way, right? It's great if you can do it at home, and that's great too. But there's also healthy options outside of the home as well. So that's another thing I think absolutely to consider. And yeah, I always love those three pillars, right? Meditation, mindfulness as a first one. That's really important to get into that. And that can be as easy as you said, as just breathing and sitting down with a child and just reading. And then movement, making sure that they're out and they're moving, right? Because kids and in adults too, we need to move. We need to trust our bodies more. And we really just need to move, whatever that is. If that's yoga, if that's just at home doing a walk, going for a walk, right? It doesn't really truly matter again. But just moving. And then the last one I always call a mental wellness diet, where you really just eat. I love the Mediterranean diet. That's one of my recommendations, is to go really a lot of plant-based. And a lot of people have different ideas around that. But I think the more mindful we become around eating and diet as well, the more you know what's good for your body. And that's something that I often say too. Once you eliminate a lot of the crappy foods out of your diet, that are really not good, like the sugar and the processed foods, right? Our bodies start naturally knowing what's good for us. And I love adding some supplements to it as well. But I duly really believe that we know, our bodies know what's good for us in the moment. And we can trust what our bodies is really wanting at that point too. So mostly for me, the Mediterranean diet works, but sometimes I just love fish. It's one of my favorites. So I love that. But when My body knows. My body knows what's good for me. And I think, besides that, I think that's a good thing to remember, is to start using those things that are healthy for us, right? And that feel good as well. Yeah.
You're so full of such wonderful information. I love talking to you.
Well, this is fun. It's a really fun conversation. So, we need to change something, right? And that's what I'm all about. I feel like I want to make change simple. And I've come to a lot of trauma myself, and I know we don't probably have time for Dr. to talk about that today too, but there's been a lot of trauma experiences in my life, and I've for a long time ignored my body. And I think a lot of us do. A lot of us, right, have come through some kind of emotional stuff from our past or everything else, and we start ignoring our bodies and what we really need, our bodies and our, and that connection between the body and the brain. And when you really start connecting again with your brain and your body and who you really are, you're pretty phenomenal, actually. So it becomes much easier then to tune into that and saying, oh, well, this change is possible for me, and I can live a different life. I don't have to be stuck in the patterns of the past, and I can make a difference, right? And that's what I'm all about, is ultimately making that happen for more people. So more people can find the change that they're really after, and create that lifestyle that they truly love. And I call it lifestyle and livelihood as well, right? So you can create the life and livelihood that you really love. So you don't have to be in an office that you don't want anymore, or you don't have to live the life that's not yours anymore. We don't. We're at the time in evolution on this planet that we can choose. And it may not be today, but it can be tomorrow or next week or next month, right? You can start building towards that life that you really want. It's time for us to stop having to live in this place where we don't really want to live. That's part of my message, right? And that's probably what came from Daniel as well, but my son Daniel that passed away, right? I do really believe that he came for a moment to this earth to help me see how precious life is, but also that life is really ours to live, and we choose how to live our lives. And the more we choose and we become aware of how much we choose to live the lives that we want to, we can change it and then start really living the life we really want. And I think that's my ultimately message. Don't stay stuck. Don't stay stuck into patterns or belief systems or trauma that doesn't work for you anymore. Get out, right? Change something about your life, because life is short. And before you know it, you're going to be 10 or 20 years down the road, and you still haven't created what you wanted. Don't do that. Just don't do that. Change it. Change it today. Whatever takes you there, right? Change it today.
That's beautiful. I agree completely. That's a good stopping point for us too, I think. We'll have to do another day so we can hear more about your traumas and the things that you've learned along the way.
Absolutely. We can absolutely do that. But this was fun. This was really fun.
So much fun. Yes. Thank you again. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Diane. I love what you're doing. You have a beautiful podcast, so thank you so much.
Thank you. And we'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.